This is The Guardian.
Today, is the UK moving towards a future where nobody smokes?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Today, the Royal College of Physicians published their report on smoking and lung cancer. They say, conclusively and authoritatively, that cigarette smoking is a cause of lung cancer, causes bronchitis, and contributes to coronary heart disease.
We've known for decades that smoking is bad for your health, but that hasn't stopped generation after generation from sparking up regardless.
Will it be enough to stop a habit that has become part of our national life?
No, because I like smoking. I think most everybody smokes because they like smoking.
Well, I enjoy it.
Then do you think the risk is worth enjoying?
Well, I think so, yes. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die, but I might as well enjoy life as it is now.
The government has been nudging us to quit for a long time now. In 1965, it banned TV advertising.
The cigarette of the moment. Strand. The new tipped cigarette. Wonderful value at 3 and 2 pence for 20.
A decade later, when almost half of all UK adults still smoked, British Rail started to provide more non-smoking carriages. But in the 90s, when I was growing up, you could still light up on trains and planes and in pubs and clubs, even in restaurants. Staff rooms in schools were often thick with smoke. One of my PE teachers used to occasionally puff away on the sidelines of the hockey pitch.
Countrywide smoking ban went into effect in the UK on Sunday. The ban covers almost all enclosed public spaces.
Then, in 2007, the Labour government finally banned smoking indoors in public places in England. And now, the Conservative government is proposing the most radical anti-smoking law ever attempted anywhere in the world.
The eventual death of smoking in Britain could be the biggest legacy of the government of Rishi Sunak. MPs set his plans in motion tonight, voting for the first time for his tobacco and vapes bill.
From The Guardian, I'm Helen Pidd. Today in Focus, can Rishi Sunak create a smoke-free generation? Ben Quinn, you are The Guardian's political correspondent, and you were in Parliament on Tuesday for the votes on Rishi Sunak's flagship smoking ban. And it easily cleared the first parliamentary hurdle on its way to becoming law, albeit with some high-profile dissenters. What did you make of it all?
Well, it was an interesting debate in that there was lots of personal reminiscences. There was a certain amount of passion. There's a certain amount of interesting bipartisanship on both sides of the House of Commons, and quite interesting heartfelt interventions from MPs who talked about their own personal backgrounds as well.
I urge anyone who's come into this debate today to go to a respiratory ward, as I served on for a year in my first junior doctor role, to watch people gasp for breath, struggle and fight with their relatives there asking you to do something as a doctor, and you simply can't. If this
is a step... And Rishi Sunak himself was not there. It was Victoria Atkins, the health secretary, who led the debate for the government.
This bill is looking to the future, to give the next generation the freedom to live longer, healthier, more productive lives.
Many of the usual suspects in terms of opposing this initiative were there. Liz Truss, the short-lived former Prime Minister, was probably the most high-profile, and she gave an intervention from the backbenches.
It's fundamentally unconservative, it's unliberal, and I will not be supporting this bill. Yeah.
And the result was interesting in that so many Tory MPs didn't bother to turn up.
The ayes to the right, 383, the noes to the left, 67. So the ayes have it, the ayes have it.
And is it a bit odd for a Tory to be pushing this fairly radical policy?
It is odd. And you might actually say it's quite odd for someone like Rishi Sunak, this sort of, you know, Silicon Valley tech brother, man of the right, who actually before he became chancellor and before the unfortunate events of the pandemic forced him to become a socialist, who was essentially imposing a kind of Marxist high spending regime on the rest of us. The fact that his roots were as a conservative who would have said, I'm a man who doesn't want to tell you what to do. And yet here he is the person who is driving this. And actually, the roots of this are quite interesting. In many ways, it's not Rishi Sunak who some might say is the driving force. It's actually the chief medical officer, Sir Chris Whitty, who's...
I remember him.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So next slide, please.
He,
on the back of the pandemic, is a person who people listen to, and conservative health secretaries and conservative prime ministers listen to him as well. What he says about the impact of smoking, the damage smoking does to men, women and children is something which he delivers in a very clinical, clear and persuasive way.
I think you've got to sort of just think through all the things that smoking does, all the way through your life course, from stillbirths right at the beginning of your life, asthma in children, through heart disease, stroke, dementia, lung cancer, still our biggest cause of deaths, multiple other cancers. There are so many different things that smoking does.
You have other conservative MPs who are backing this ban. You might even single out someone like Sajid Javid, who was health secretary. Let's not forget, again, a man of the right, a man who, you know, tells us that he reads Ayn Rand to his wife. I think he reads it twice a year. Mm-hmm. And yet here he is, and here he has been making the case for this ban in Parliament as well.
He's no woke lefty, is he, Sajid Javid?
No, although in this one, you know, he's certainly he's been won over by the woke lefties.
I know that some honourable members have publicly expressed their reservations about this proposal before us. We've already heard it in this House. But can we honestly say that this drug enhances personal liberty and freedom? It's a nonsense argument. Anyone who makes that argument, they're choosing to stand up for big tobacco against the interest of their constituents and to erode someone's personal liberty and remove their freedom to choose.
How would the proposed ban work in practice?
So the tobacco and vapes bill, it would ensure anyone turning 15 from 2024, they'd be banned from buying cigarettes. And it also aims to make vapes less appealing to children. It'll raise the age of tobacco sales by 1 year every year with the aim of stopping youngsters today from ever taking up smoking. It won't criminalise the act of buying tobacco. It won't prevent older generations from being sold tobacco in future. But it also will crack down on underage sales, and the government's going to be introducing some measures to support that end, such as a £100 on-the-spot fine for shops which sell tobacco and vapes to underage people.
Mm-hmm. And this idea of gradually raising the age year by year, I think, is really interesting. But does it mean that you could have a situation in the future where a 35-year-old can't legally buy cigarettes, but a 36-year-old can? I mean, I have my own mini focus group at home on this. I have a 14-year-old stepdaughter. She's born in 2009, exactly the year. They'll be the first year affected. And I was asking her about it, and she's very anti-smoking, but she was like, well, it's not fair because people who are older in my year at school, they'll be able to buy cigarettes and I won't be able to. But yeah, this kind of age discrepancy, is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting, you know, in terms of your 14-year-old stepdaughter, what she says about it, your little mini focus group, because, yeah, in practical terms, it will introduce a generational divide in future. And perhaps you might say, pity the shopkeeper who has to choose between a person who's 26 or 25 and ask for ID to scrutinize their date of birth. So that's one of the arguments that's been weaponized against this. You know, if you take an MP like Ian Paisley from the Democratic Unionist Party, he's been asking about the impact on shopkeepers, and he and others have been sort of asking what's going to be done to protect people when an irate or angry customer, you know, begins to get violent when they're challenged about their age as well. So, you know, it's the practical implementation of this move, which is one of the ones which is going to be, you know, probably the focus of some of the stickiest debate.
Mm-hmm. And even the most passionate advocates for smoking, like even Nigel Farage, right? He would admit that smoking is bad for your health. We all accept that now. Can you unpack for us a little bit more the wider arguments for bringing in the ban?
Yeah, so the arguments are on a number of fronts. There are the health arguments. There's the economic impact of it. Government figures show smoking costs the UK about £17 billion a year, including £10 billion every year through lost productivity alone. But then the health impact, though, is the overarching massive argument for a move like this. 9 in 10 people say they started the habit before the age of 21. It's obviously highly addictive, mm-hmm. and that's something that can't be contested. It kills about 80,000 people a year in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if this can take a burden off the NHS, it's something which is, you know, a really, really sellable aspect of the government's plans.
And has a ban like this been attempted anywhere else before?
Yes, so New Zealand should have been leading ahead of the UK on this. And if you remember, Jacinda Ardern, the Labour Prime Minister of New Zealand.
I remember her. Yes, I miss her.
I suspect a certain amount of Guardian readers do miss her as well. But she quit. I think she said she didn't have anything left in the tank. And then a new Conservative administration basically did a U-turn on the ban, which had been on course to be implemented there, and that was in 2023. So that sort of pulled the rug out a little bit from behind the UK. For Rishi Sunak, it's a double-edged sword. It's great for him. He can be a man of history now. Mm. He's the person who's pushing ahead with this. But at the same time, if you read the columns of right-wing newspapers and the tweets of libertarian MPs and others, it only shows to highlight how much of a lefty woke pioneer he actually is in doing this ahead of everyone else. So he doesn't quite have the cover of following behind New Zealand. He has to embrace this and own this.
The last time I really thought a lot about the laws around smoking was back in 2007 when I was a cub reporter on The Guardian, and I was dispatched on the final night that you could smoke legally indoors in public spaces in England. And I went to the smokiest pub in London where the landlord had put a poster up saying, you know, let's smoke ourselves to death for one last time. I remember how many times I had to wash my hair after that job because it was just so smoky. Even though it was only 17 years ago, it feels like several lifetimes ago that was possible. How do you think the culture around smoking has changed?
Yeah, I mean, I remember those days as well. Yeah, and you know, like you, I remember being sent out to cover the implementation of a ban in closed spaces in Ireland as well. And the arguments, economic and otherwise, were just being hurled at it.
Make a place for the smokers and a place for the non-smokers that's segregated off. Not herders out here like bloody prostitutes standing on this corner, which is what you feel like when you're standing here with a cigarette in your hand.
But if you were to speak to people now, would people want to go back to those days of, you know, coming back from the pub or a restaurant and having to hang up their coat and de-smoke it, even if they weren't, you know, puffing away? You know, I don't think so. And even among young people, it seems to be an object of curiosity those days. Maybe there's some sort of nostalgia for it on the part of some people, but we shouldn't underestimate at the same time the pockets of society where smoking, you know, really does have a grip. And, you know, very often that's linked to demographics.
And I think depending on where you hang out, it sometimes feels like you're far more likely to find yourself in the slipstream of somebody puffing away on a fruity vape than you are to smell somebody having a cigarette. Like, who still smokes now?
So around 6.4 million adults in the UK are still smokers. And it's the 25 to 34 age group, which has got the highest proportion of smokers. Hmm. And smoking's much more common for those in the lower paid jobs. And even that's at a time when it's become increasingly expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I think a packet of cigarettes is at least £13 now, isn't it, for 20? Yeah. Astonishing. And broadly, how popular would a smoking ban be with the general public?
So the answer is very popular. So polling by YouGov last year for ASH, the anti-smoking charity, found that 78% of the public in Britain supported the government's smoke-free ambitions. And it's also broadly popular among voters of all parties, and that includes Conservative voters.
I do advise kids that this law that's going to come in is for their benefit, and that they should listen to people like us. Yeah. That wish we never started.
And as well as cigarettes, the ban is also looking at making vapes less appealing for children. How would that work?
Yeah, in the legislation, it's got provisions to regulate the display, the contents and the flavours and the packaging of vapes and nicotine products. More than 12% of 16 to 17-year-olds smoke in England, although the number of 11 to 17-year-olds who smoke cigarettes has gone down in the last decade. And then the popularity of vaping has increased in this age group. There's obviously been a lot of noise about vaping in recent years and the way they're marketed and what they look like. And
how they taste. They taste like sweets.
well, yeah, I confess I have not tasted them, but there's obviously, it's a live debate. And what they look like as well. It's essentially the packaging. It's essentially the merchandising around them.
Vapes are not things that I or anyone I know have called safe. And my advice has been really clear, which is if you smoke, it is sensible to use vaping as a quit aid if that helps you. But if you do not smoke, do not vape. And above all, it is absolutely unacceptable to be marketing vapes to children, which it is very clear many of the vapes companies are.
Some people argue that prohibition will lead to a rise in organised crime. And how concerned do you think we should actually be about a black market emerging in the UK for cigarettes?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the big arguments which is being used against this proposal. And it was deployed in Parliament when it's come up and has been discussed. And it's likely to be one of the big attack points. And then you've got the sort of added dimension of things like the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland in terms of what might cross over that. That's been a sort of a thing which has been talked about a lot in recent times as well. So, black market on the back of a law like this it's difficult to prove that there will be one. But then again, Chris Whitty, the chief medical officer, believes there's very little evidence that a hidden market for cigarettes could become a major problem. And he says this is a line. It's just pushed out by the tobacco industry.
And there are some people who are worried that this could be a slippery slope for banning other unhealthy things, whether that's fast food, ultra-processed food, alcohol. What do you make of that argument?
Yeah, it's the libertarian argument, isn't it? It's the Liz Truss argument, and I think it was both Truss and Sir Simon Clark who had said that, look, this is a slippery slope to potentially a ban on fast food. I think it was Clark who even said maybe an outright ban on alcohol, and Truss talked about potentially people would have a sugar alliance. So these are all the sort of nightmares of the libertarian right coming home to roost as well.
My real fear is that this is not the final stage that the health police want to push. They are the health police.
And how have the government responded to those kind of arguments?
They've responded to them with the cold clinical figures showing the damage which cigarettes do. And also just, I think, an appeal to people's common sense. I mean, this is a country which actually quite likes banning things, though, if you look at the research and the surveys of the general public.
Coming up, how the tobacco debate is splitting the Tory party yet again.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
For a Conservative, measures that restrict choice are never easy. I know not everyone in this hall will agree with me on this, but I've spent a long time weighing up this decision. And what has ultimately swayed me is that none of us, not even those who smoke, want our children to grow up to be smokers.
So this ban is, as we know, one of Sunak's flagship policies. But, you know, the vote on Tuesday night, it did expose divisions within the Tory party, and it relies heavily on Labour support. So what does that tell us about Sunak's position and where he stands at the moment?
Well, it tells us that he's quite weak. He has made this a free vote. Has he made it a free vote because he knows he's going to be unable to get people to come in behind him? And after the first vote on this, he'll know that afterwards, almost half of the Conservative MPs behind him will not have chosen to turn up to back the plans. And he'll also know that even in his cabinet, there are people like Kemi Badenoch who have come out and opposed it, and others like Penny Mordaunt, who have also publicly made their reservations known. Now, what links those two people other than their deep interest in smoking legislation? You know, one might say it's also their leadership ambitions. So, yes, the general public is broadly behind an initiative like this, but the general public don't elect the next leader of the Conservative Party. The next leader of the Conservative Party is elected by MPs and Conservative Party members. Conservative Party members tend to be more conservative than the general public, and actually probably more libertarian in many ways as well.
And so if it's causing Rishi Sunak all this strife and prompting yet more discussion about who might be vying to replace him, why do you think he's decided to push through this bill?
I think this is something which, like many other Conservative minister, he has been won over by. Rishi Sunak is someone who's been in government for a while, and he'll know as Chancellor as well, having been Chancellor, the cost to the Exchequer. What else has he achieved at the moment as well? Potentially this is a win. And it might actually be his only win. It might actually be his only legacy. If he doesn't get the planes off the ground in terms of deporting people to Rwanda, what else is there? The other thing about this is clearly something which has got cut through among the general public. It's not going to secure re-election. It's not going to turn around the polls for him. But you might actually compare it to David Cameron's delivery of marriage equality in the coalition government as well. One of those things which people will look back on, whether they're a Labour voter or a Green, and say, oh, look, that's something that David Cameron did. That was something that Rishi Sunak did. And they'll forget about the conservative aspect of it.
Yeah, so even if he only lasts 2 years in Downing Street, which is looking increasingly likely if we believe the polls, this could be his legacy.
Absolutely. Longer than a lettuce, certainly longer than Liz Truss as well. So it could be his only legacy.
Mm-hmm. So what happens next?
So we've got committee stage, a final vote in the House of Commons around about May. It goes to the Lords, and actually with a fair wind, you know, this could become law in the second half of this year.
In time for the general election, potentially.
Just in time for lots of people to go to the polling booths and you know, firmly in the belief that Rishi Sunak's delivered this historic moment and probably in the main cast to vote for Labour.
Thank you so much, Ben.
You're welcome, Helen. Thanks for taking us back to those smoke-filled days of our youth.
That was Guardian political correspondent Ben Quinn. There's a lot more from him and our brilliant Westminster reporting team at theguardian.com. Plus our sister podcast, Politics Weekly UK, presented by John Harris. You can find that wherever you get Today in Focus. That's all for today. I'm Helen Pidd. The producers were Eli Block and Sammy Kent. Sound design was by Rudy Zagadlo. The executive producer was Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.